to the book of Acts, chapter number 4. Now, you look around, most of the time, the last few Sundays, this building has been pretty well full. And you're looking around going, well, where is everybody today? Well, we got a lot of sickness, and I need you to pray for them. A lot of folks that are out that are sick. We have some that are traveling. But you're here, and that's what's important. The Lord knew who needed to be here, and so you're here, and we're glad you're here. Acts chapter number 4, and we'll look at verse number 31, first Sunday of the new year. And let's look at verse number 31. And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of these things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And the church said, let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for allowing us to be here. It is good to be in your house, and we're glad of it. We're glad for the privilege that we have, the freedom that we have in this country. The way it is right now, we still have the freedom to come to church, and we're glad for it. We hope we never have to debate that or have that taken away from us. And Lord, I pray, God, you'd help us the next few minutes. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. The early church, here's the first Sunday of the new year. Just had some thoughts on my mind I want to share with you about our church for the first Sunday of the new year as looking forward. This past year, 2023, we got into this brand new building. Matter of fact, one Sunday before Easter Sunday, we got into this new building, and we're grateful for it. We had outgrown the other one, and we're all grateful for that, and we're looking forward to outgrowing this one someday. And it's just wonderful to have those kinds of problems. The early church started out with 120 people in an upper room. And the Bible says, and when they prayed, the place was shaken together. And then, Acts chapter number 17, it says, those people turned the world upside down. The first Sunday, they had, 3,000 people saved. 3,000 people saved the first Sunday. The next Sunday, 5,000 people got saved. So you've got over 8,000 people in two Sundays that have started this church, if you will. This church didn't have a building like. You see, the Bible days, the church, they didn't have a building. They didn't have fans. They didn't have a microphone. They didn't have chairs. They didn't have a piano. They didn't have the screens on the wall and the speakers on the ceiling. They didn't have all of that stuff, and they did more for God without a building than the church today does with a building. I was wanting a few more amens than that. What happened to the old time church? I think about the church over there in Sardis in Revelation chapter number 3. The angel of the church of Sardis, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, the seven stars. I know thy works and how thou hast a name that thou livest. He's talking about a church. Jesus is talking about a church. You have a name outside that you're a church, that you're living, but you're dead. Y'all ever been to a dead church? You ever been to a dead church? If you've ever been to one, hey, I was at one time, and I was up there preaching. I'm telling you what, doing the best I could. A fella had a heart attack. They called the ambulance. They took out 14 people before they found the right guy. Now, that was dead. I'm telling you, that was dead. Revelation chapter number 2, he's talking about the church at Ephesus. He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. We're talking about the church in Acts was on fire. People were getting saved left and right. And then by the time you get to the church at Ephesus, the church of Sardis, he says, we've left our first love. And then the church at Laodicea, he says that I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Isn't that a sad fact about the church? I heard about an atheist that lived in a small community, sort of like Millsfield. And this atheist, everybody's trying to get to the faith, he says, come to church. Wouldn't you come to church? Come to church. Never would come to church. He was an atheist. He wasn't a bad man. He wasn't mean. He just didn't go to church. Didn't believe in God. And one day that small community church caught on fire and the whole community gathered together. Man, they was running toward the church and they had buckets of water and they were getting ready to put the fire out on this small community. Matter of fact, the atheist even was running to the church to help. And somebody looked at him and said, man, and they just out loud said, man, we thought we'd never see you running toward the church. He said, this is the first time I've ever seen the church on fire. If the church ever gets on fire for God, nobody wants to go to a funeral home for a church service. People want to be on fire for God. They want to go to a church that's on fire for God. I read a statistic one time just here recently. 4,500 churches close every year. We look on television, we see all the big churches, all the big preachers, and boy, they've got thousands and thousands of people. But the average attendance for a church all across America is only 65 people. People are not going to church. And one of the reasons they're not going to church is because there's not a church that's on fire for God. The early church did more. I've already said it, but it's worth repeating. The early church did more for God without a building than they did with a building. They were dedicated. We're dedicated more to church than we are to Christ. We're devoted more to a building than we are the Bible. We're more interested in fellowship than faithfulness. Now, y'all can say amen anytime you get ready. More interested in programs than power. Churches are more like a machine than a ministry. There's more emphasis on programs and promotions than it is on preaching. And I'm all for singing. Y'all know I love singing. I love singing better. But I'm telling you, I've been to some place and man, they'll sing for an hour and 20 minutes and make you stand and all that and follow the bouncing ball. 7 words, repeat them 11 times, follow the bouncing ball and sing for an hour and 20 minutes. And then when the preacher gets up there, they expect him to be done in 20 minutes. Because their emphasis is more on singing than it is the preaching of the Bible. I was expecting a whole lot more amens than that. We want Jesus as our leader, but most people don't want Jesus as our Lord. A lot of churches, now I've been to them, man. I've been to some dead places, man. I've been preaching and it looked just like beating your head on that wooden pulpit trying to get a message across. And people just standing there cold faced and man, they ain't planning on moving. I mean, they hadn't had a movement since Maylocks came to their house. And I'm telling you what, I mean, they ain't planning on moving, ain't planning on doing nothing. They just here, they come and they just gonna bless me if you can. And hallelujah, they come as they are, they leave as they came and never change. They're never born again. Somebody ought to say amen right there. Most churches have jogging for Jesus on Mondays. They have bowling for blessings on Tuesdays. They have scrapbooking for saints on Wednesdays. They have weightlifting for losers on Thursdays. They have fish fries for everybody on Fridays. They have cookouts for Christians on Saturdays. And on Sundays, they have a sermonette for the Christianette dressed like a majorette, driving a Corvette, smoking a cigarette, trying to get to the kitchenette. Well, hallelujah. I worked real hard on that. And Tommy is the only one that stood up. Church at Ephesus, you've left your first love. He said, I'll remove your candlestick if you don't repent. I've always heard, I've grown up in church. My dad pastored the same church 40 years. Church is all I've ever known. And I've seen the big revivals, a lot of them. I haven't seen all of them, but I've seen some. I've seen revivals come to town and people getting saved and all of that. And I've heard about, boy, used to this and boy, used to. We sung the old song. Boy, used to. We did this. I'm tired of hearing about what they used to do. I want to do it today. And the church get on fire today like they was back in Acts chapter 4. I don't mind hearing about what they did, but don't talk about used to and not plan on doing nothing tomorrow about it. Hallelujah. Well, somebody said, well, we need new converts. We need new converts to get fire in the church. No, we need some fire in the old converts. Genesis 22, God told Abraham, I guess it's just going to be me and the Lord here this morning, so we and him going to preach, all right? Genesis 22, God told Abraham, said, take thy son, thy only son, upon Mount Moriah and offer him for a sacrifice, Isaac. You got Abraham, the dad. You got Isaac, the son. You got a load of wood under his arm, and you got a fire starter, whatever they started fire with, and Isaac don't know that he's going to be the sacrifice. Dad, sons, walking up this hill, and all of a sudden, Isaac looks at daddy and says, hey, we got the wood. We got the fire, but where is the lamb for the sacrifice? And I'm going to tell you, we can't have church. We can't have church without the lamb. But 4,000 years later from Genesis 22, we got fire, we got wood. We got the lamb and we got the wood, but we don't have any fire anymore. No fire in the pulpit. No fire in the pews. No hellfire and brimstone. People, I don't like that hellfire and brimstone. Well, people used to live right when we had more hellfire and brimstone preaching. Hey. Somebody said, this is what they said. They said, if you could, it takes 40 Christians to lead one person to Christ in a year. 40 Christians to lead one person to Christ in a year. So that means that if you could freeze the world's population and nobody's born and nobody else dies, it would take 4,000 years to win the world to Christ. The church is not doing its job. We're more church. Now, when I say we, I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about churches as a whole is more than is more for a social club and a social gathering. And we go to that church because there's a lot of people there and I own a business. If I go to the big church, I get a lot of business and it's a more of a social club and a business meeting than it is where the presence and the power of God is manifested. Well, hallelujah. Church on fire. Let me give you three things real quick. Write them down if you want to. Remember them. Number one, the church on fire in Acts chapter number 4 was endued with power. Number one, in verse number 8, Peter, the leader, he had to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And then after Peter, the leader, got filled with the Holy Ghost, then it made its way to the pew. And by verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken together and they were assembled together. And then they were filled with the Holy Ghost. It starts behind the pulpit. It's got to start behind the pulpit before it ever gets to the pew. If you got an icicle for a preacher, you'll have icicles in the pews. Hallelujah. I never have wanted an icicle for a preacher. Cold and, you know, monotone. Put everybody to sleep. Somebody told me, I said, don't go to sleep today while I'm preaching. He said, there ain't no way of that. You won't let nobody sleep. We can't depend upon man-made excitement. We can't depend upon programs and promotions and publicity. We can't depend on all the fluff. We got to have the power of God in our church and in our life. Paul said it this way. He said, in my speech, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Do y'all remember the illustration I had, sir, a few years ago, was in the old building. I brought a vacuum cleaner up here on the stage. Y'all remember that? I brought a vacuum cleaner upstate, and boy, I didn't plug it in. Man, I was vacuuming that whole carpet up on that stage. Man, I was putting a lot of work into it. And guess what? It wasn't getting anything off the carpet because it wasn't plugged into the power. And a lot of churches, they're doing the work. They're singing the three songs and they're doing their tear-jerking illustrations and they're taking up the offering and they're doing all that stuff. And there's no power because they ain't plugged into the socket to get the power that it's going to take to get a church on fire. Amen. There's a fella, evangelist in the 1700s. This evangelist was one of the greats. There was a church in town. In a church where the fire used to be. And it wasn't anymore. Nobody was saved. Nobody got saved. Nobody really cared. It's us four, no more. One of those kind of churches. It was dead and nobody really cared except for one man. This one man owned a blacksmith shop. And there, and boy, he wasn't a preacher, but he had a desire to see revival come to his church. And boy, I'm telling you what, he went to work. He closed up the blacksmith shop early one day. He went home and prayed all afternoon long, agonizing. God, please restore the fire of God in our church. Please restore revival in our church. Matter of fact, the next day, He called the preacher and he says, "Hey, boy, it's been on my heart, my mind to have revival." And the preacher said, "Well, you know, ain't nobody gonna come if we do." Don't you just love a wet blanket? You ever get on fire, there's always gonna be a wet blanket somewhere. And the preacher said, "Well, I tell you, well, we'll go ahead and we'll just have a revival and we'll see what happens." And boy, they had revival. And I'm telling you, in 1700s, they didn't have Facebook. They didn't have promotions. They didn't have nothing to get the word out just by word of mouth. And that church was full. Charles Finney got behind the pulpit and preached. And dozens of people came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, got saved by God's marvelous grace. And that church had the fire put back in it and grew and grew and grew and reached multitudes of people for the cause of Christ. And you know why? Because in verse 31, "And when they prayed, the place was shaken," where they were assembled. People are going to have to start praying. You say, "Preacher, what is praying?" I'm not talking about, "Lord, lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord's soul to keep. If I die before I wake, pray my soul to the Lord to keep," and all that kind of stuff. I ain't talking about praying like that. I'm talking about agonizing. Prayer, ladies. Let me help you. Ladies, you can help us with this. Prayer is like having a baby. Travail in childbirth. You just don't go to the hospital and jump up in the bed and there you go, you got a baby. No, there's some crying. There's some agony. There's some pain involved. There's some pushing involved. When we come to this altar, it ain't just, "Oh Lord, we'll send revival. Okay, Jesus' name, amen." Mm-mm. It's, "God, would you please send revival? I'm not getting up from this altar till you save my son. I'm not getting up from this altar till you save my kids. I'm not getting up from this altar till you send the power of God in my church." When they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled. One day there was a fella by the name of D.L. Moody. I love D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody, he was from Chicago, has the Moody Bible Institute still there today in Chicago, started by D.L. Moody. He was visiting on vacation, visiting a church in London, England. He's on vacation, went all the way over there, he's on vacation. He visited a fairly large church, but it was dead. Man, it was deader than 4 o'clock in the morning. And boy, he went to that church. And matter of fact, he come in and the pastor saw him and said, "Oh, D.L. Moody, we want you to preach today in all of our services, 3 or 4 services today. We want you to preach." He said, "Well, I'm sort of on vacation, but, and boy, they just kept pushing. D.L. Moody, won't you preach for us?" And boy, he got up there that Sunday morning, he preached. And man, it was like you couldn't get nothing going. I mean, everybody, it was just dead. And nobody was moving. There wasn't any power. And he was thinking while he's preaching, he said, "Man, I got to come back tonight and preach again. I'm trying to figure out a way. I'm going to get sick. I'm going to do something to get out of preaching tonight. I ain't coming back to this place." And he couldn't figure out a way to tell the preacher, "No, I ain't coming back tonight." And there was an elderly lady in that church. She went home and told her invalid sister that couldn't go to church. She stayed at home. And she said, "Sister, you ain't going to believe this. D.L. Moody was at our church this morning. They put up the lunch. They didn't even eat. They went in their prayer closet, started praying, wouldn't eat. They fasted and prayed all afternoon. All afternoon they prayed and fasted. These 2 old ladies. And one of them, the invalid, bedridden, prayed all afternoon long." D.L. Moody come back to the pulpit that night in London, England. He preached and he said something was different in the place. He said, "You could feel something was different in the place." He said, "I had liberty to preach. I had freedom to preach." And he said, "God fell upon that place." He got rid of it, gave the invitation. And he said, "If you need to trust Christ, would you please stand?" 500 people stood up. D.L. Moody said, no, y'all sit down. Y'all must have misunderstood me. Sit down. You must have misunderstood. He thought he rephrased it. He said, if you need to be born again by God's marvelous grace and Jesus to come into your heart, would you please say, 500 people stood up in London, England. That started the England revivals that spread all over London and all over the England area because D.L. Moody, because two elderly ladies prayed and fasted all Sunday afternoon because they wanted to see the fire of God back into their church. That's what it'll take. That's what it'll take. I tell you what, folks, just try this. Now, maybe you hadn't prayed in a long time. Now, some of the people worry and say, well, I got trouble in my life all the time. I'm going to tell you, sometimes the reason God allows trouble to come, because that's the only time he hears from us. And so God wants to hear from you more often, but I'm going to challenge you first Sunday of the year, before you come back next Sunday. After this sermon, you pray, I ain't coming back. But after you come back next Sunday for this whole week, start this afternoon, tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, before you get, pray for the church, pray for the preacher, pray for the services, pray for the key, pray for Sammy, pray for Terma, pray for everybody, and say, God, we want the fire of God in our church, and just see what happens. Just try God and see what happens. I'll tell you what happened in Acts chapter number 4. 8,000 people got saved. I tell you what happened in Acts chapter number 4. The worship services, boy, it was a moving of Almighty God filled with the Spirit. What's result of not having the fire? What's result of not having the fire is burnout. And I'll tell you what happens when you see a church and the fire's going out. It's just like the, boy, there's a lot of sermons in old country living. I remember in the wood stove we had in that living room, and Dad, he would bring that wood in there and all night long, and he'd still have some hot burning coals in there from the night, and boy, he'd throw that wood in and he'd get down on his hands and knees, and he would put that little lever that had a little door there, and he would go, and he'd throw that little kindling in there. Y'all know, anybody know what kindling is? They pull it and he'd go. Say, preacher, our church was just lost its fire. What are we going to do? Well, you have to get on your knees. Somebody's going to have to fan the flames. All right, some of you ain't going to fan it. Well, we'll go out then. Hallelujah. In us, to us, through us, the power of God, it'll change Millsfield, it'll change Dyersburg, Newbern, wherever else you come from. Ladies and gentlemen, this church will be totally different because we've been endued with the power from on high. God's still building the church. God is still, Matthew 16:18, he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The government can't stop it. The government can't do anything about it. The church of the living God is alive and well. You may say the church, boy, the church is going down. No, friend, the church is fixing to go up out of here, and we're getting up out of here. The stock market may crash, but the church will keep marching on. Walmart might go bankrupt, but the church is going to keep going on. Bill Gates may lose everything he's got, but the church is going to march on. Elon Musk may drive one of them little cars to the moon and back, but the church is still going to march on. Amen. Endued with power. Number two, equal in position. The church on fire, endued with power, and they're equal in position. Notice what it says. When they had heard this, they lifted up their voice with one accord. That means everybody was going the same direction. That means there was no strife. There was no tension. Everybody was going the same direction. There was no big eyes and little U's. There was no clicks over here and clicks over there. And I ain't speaking to you and you don't speak to me. And da, da, da. They were all in one accord. I'm doing a whole lot better preaching than what you're fanning. You're fanning the flames a little bit. All going in the same direction. Nobody was, I tell you, a lot of problems that we have in churches. Now, I ain't talking about this, I'm talking about other churches. Sometimes there's two dangers I see. Some people magnify their importance. They magnify. They think the church couldn't make it without them. Me and a fellow was talking about this just the other day. I'm telling you, I've been in church all my life. I know I've heard this a bunch of times. I heard it one time. This family had a big, they got kids and they kids and kids. And now they had a big family. And he said, "Preacher, if we leave this church will go down." Well, guess what? We still are going up. Matter of fact, when they left, the offerings went up. I had one fellow tell me was in the, we're recording. Well, hang on. I had one fellow tell me, he said, "You can't build that building you're planning on building if I take my tithes and go elsewhere." I said, "Well, help yourself. See what God can do without you." He walked out the door. We built the building and then filled it up on top of that. Some people magnify their position. I warn you to not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. We're all equal in position. There's no big I's or little U's. Number two, not only magnifying our importance, but some people minimize their importance. There's two sides of that coin. Some people think they're more important than others, and then some think they're less. They think, "Well, if I don't show up, nobody will miss me. I'm nothing in that church." I've heard that before. "Oh, I'm nothing in that church." Listen, friend, they were all in one accord, going the same direction. There was no magnifying. There was no minimizing. Everybody was on the same field. Everybody was marching the same direction, praying for God to put fire back in their church. Yes, friend. The greatest ability is dependability. The greatest ability is dependability. Can you be dependable? Let me give you the third one. Endued with power. Equal in position. And number three, if you want to fire God, evangelistic in priority. Number one, endued with power. We got to get the power. Find the plug in. Plug up. Number two, equal. Everybody's equal in position. 2024, equal in position. Evangelistic in priority. This church, our vision, number one, ought to be exalt the Savior. Lift the Savior up. Lift the Savior up. Evangelize the sinner and edify the saints. Number three, let me give you that again, because some of you are still writing and some of you are not thinking about writing, so I'm going to repeat it till you think about writing it down. Exalt the Savior. Evangelize the sinner and edify the saints. Evangelistic in priority. The most important thing this church can do in Millsfield is reach a lost and dying world that's going to hell without Jesus Christ. Evangelism to Christianity is the veins that flow in our body. It's just like a doctor when he performs surgery. That's his mission. When a car mechanic fixes your car, that's his heart. That's his mission. A church's heart, his mission ought to be evangelize the sinner and tell them that they can't get to heaven without Jesus Christ. Amen. R.G. Lee. R.G. Lee used to pastor Bellevue before Adrian Rogers. R.G. Lee said, "God never intended for the church to be a refrigerator to preserve the perishing. He intended it to be an incubator to hatch new converts." Amen. Christ Church Baptist Fellowship, we're a hospital for sinners, not a rest home for saints. A hospital for sinners and not a rest home for saints. Hallelujah. Well, I must have picked the wrong sermon for the first Sunday of the year. But I tell you what, I'd like to see the power of God. Not to say we don't have, because I'm telling you, you come in here and this church is not like all others. We have good singing. We try to put food on the table. I was on a thing on Facebook, and all these preachers are on there, and sometimes they get on there and they have their problems like everybody else, and they say, "Here's a question for everybody. Help me." And they say, "How do I get my Wednesday night crowd to increase?" And it's what I put on there. Usually I don't comment because, boy, here they'll come. And somebody don't disagree. Everybody, look, preachers are the world's worst, man. You put something on there and then somebody, well, I don't agree with that. Well, I don't care. I'm going to take two baby aspirins, go home and take a nap. I don't care what you agree or disagree with. I'm going to put it on here. And I said, if you put food on the table, when they get hungry, they'll come. You put food on the table. Preachers, prepare yourself. You put food on the table. And when people get hungry, they'll come and get it. Evangelism. Our church needs the power of God. The power of God to fall upon this place. Our church. I encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, while Sammy's coming. I encourage you to go home. If you said, preacher, I just don't know how to pray. Look, talk to him like you do anybody else. You don't have to pray and say, oh, the creator of all the heavens and the earth and Pluto and Mars. No, he's not looking for that. He's looking for somebody just to talk to him and say, God, we want you to come and meet in our services. We want our church full. We want our church, the power of God to fall. We want the power of God, not just in our church so we can say, oh, look at us. No, but look what he's doing. Revival to fall. In 2024, we got to do more in 2024 than we did. Because I don't know when the Lord's coming. The Lord could come this afternoon. And I don't want him finding us in a playpen, playing around, throwing toys at one another and fighting and carrying on. I want him seeing on the battlefield for the Lord, marching toward the kingdom of God, taking as many people with us until we get there. And the power of God to fall. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning. Lord, I pray, God, our church be revolutionized by the power and the preaching and the word of God that's presented. Lord, I pray. God, if there's somebody on the sound of my voice that don't know you, I pray, Lord, they'd be saved before it's everlasting too late. Call upon you.